Hello, welcome to The Sun Will Rise. I'm Roshan Mohammed Saleh. Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu has just assembled the most right-wing coalition regime in the Zionist entity's history. And today, we'll be asking what this means for the Palestinians. Apart from Netanyahu himself, the biggest winner in the coalition negotiations was the right-wing Jewish Home Party, which represents the interests of the settler movement. And two ultra-Orthodox parties, United Torah Judaism and Shas, are also in the coalition. None of these parties will ever challenge Netanyahu if he decides to wage war on the Palestinians or build more settlements on Arab land. In fact, they'll probably accuse him of being too soft if he doesn't. Here's a report from Mona Kandil in Ramallah on how Palestinians have been reacting to the formation of the new regime.
For the first time in 20 years, Israel's newly formed regime led by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu isn't pretending to the world that it wants peace with the Palestinians. So the feeling on the Palestinian street is one of satisfaction that the regime has removed Israel's mask, revealing the face of a racist, discriminatory Israel. For the Palestinians, it's the same old misery.
All Israeli governments were Zionist regimes and they have the same policy against us. Now with this more extremist regime, that represents the real face of Israel. There would be more checkpoints and more arrests. Israel's policy would not change.
Ever since Netanyahu became the Israeli premier for the first time, the Palestinian people have been facing different forms of aggression. And this time, especially with his racist regime, peace will be impossible to achieve.
The Palestinian Authority here in occupied Ramallah has denounced Netanyahu's new regime, saying it's obvious that he's working to impose a perpetual apartheid system that seeks to accelerate settlement activities in both the occupied West Bank and Jerusalem Al-Quds, especially now that the pro-settler Jewish Home Party has gained control over several powerful ministries. And on ground, this is exactly what has happened. More homes for settlers were approved following the formation of Israel's new coalition.
The new Israeli regime is composed of many extremist ministers and many settlers, and it reflects the real policy of Israel and translates Netanyahu's pledges during his electoral campaign when he said there's no possibility for a two-state solution. The Palestinians now must accelerate their popular resistance against the Israeli occupation and its illegal practices.
So at the end of the day, observers say that it's now certain that a two-state agreement will never emerge from any form of negotiations with Israel, and that the Palestinian Authority must proceed with other alternatives to end the Israeli occupation and establish an independent Palestine.
Previous Israeli regimes have always represented Israel's ideology, and they have all agreed on one policy, projecting extremism, racism, and aggression against the Palestinians. However, it seems that this time the new Israeli regime could be the most extremist in its history. For The Sun Will Rise, this is Mona Kandil, occupied Ramallah.
To discuss what the new Israeli regime means for Palestinians, we have two guests with us in the studio today. Hafsa Kara Mustafa is an Arab journalist and a specialist on the politics of the Middle East. And Hanin Abu Salem is a Palestinian researcher, a political activist, and a refugee from Gaza. Welcome both of you guys to the program. Hafsa, if I can start with you, the most right-wing extremist regime in Israeli history. Is that pretty accurate?
Pretty much, but then again, it's very reflective of Israeli policy from day one, really. I think Israel likes to brag as being the only democracy in the Middle East. That actually is even more alarming when you look at what's just happened. It means that an overwhelming majority of Israelis have actually voted for this racist regime. Mm. And I think it's not remotely surprising, given that last summer, we all remember very shocking images of scores of Israelis sitting on a hill, munching on food, and actually watching Palestinians being gunned down and blown up to pieces. These are the very same people who've just voted for the most racist politician.
Why has Israeli politics lurched so far to the right? I mean, is there a left in Israel anymore?
Well, I think when you compare it to what Netanyahu is proposing, I think anyone who tries remotely to sort of respect or talk of Palestinian rights will come across as sort of peacenik or left-wing. But of course, that's only in relation to what Netanyahu stands for. I think the Israelis have now realized that the international community is slowly but surely turning against it and is actually more aware of the atrocious nature of the Israeli regime. And therefore, they're sort of inward looking, and they're looking towards more right wing politicians as a sort of a sort of survival technique.
I mean, as we saw in the report, people on the street in Palestine, I mean, you kind of might expect them to be depressed, but actually they're saying it's good because now Israel is showing its true face to the world.
I think it's brilliant news. If anything, strangely, and I know people will laugh, I was very happy to see Netanyahu win the elections because, as so many Palestinians have noted, it is actually a very good thing to reveal to the world what the Israeli regime is about. And I think Israel will remember that Israel really relies heavily on international support and public opinion, Western public opinion in particular, and therefore its image is constantly, you know, nurtured and maintained to show some sort of democracy, which of course we all knew is not the case. But of course, with the election of Netanyahu, it actually reveals to the international community and to the countries that formerly supported it what Israel is truly about. So I think it's very good news.
Hanin, what's your reaction? Most extreme Israeli coalition in history?
I actually expected that Netanyahu would win this election, and I think the answer to your question comes from another question you asked, which was, is there even a left in the Israeli occupation? There isn't a left, because Yitzhak Rabin, who received a Nobel Prize for apparently signing a so-called peace agreement with Yasser Arafat, literally after signing that peace agreement, he went on Israeli TV and said, basically to the soldiers, now we will leave the PA, the Palestinian Authority, and their soldiers to do your work for you. This is what Israel stands for. It's an illegal occupation. Personally, I was extremely happy that he won, which might be shocking to your audience, because for me, this is a blessing in disguise. It proves, and it proves once again, and it's a triumph to every Palestinian who has been attacked, who has been imprisoned, who has been assassinated, left, right, and center, unfortunately, not only by the Zionists, which we expect will target any honorable Palestinian who claims and says and is and believes that our existence depends on our resistance. We were even attacked by people who signed the so-called agreement. I mean, you would there was a time in Palestine when somebody would break your door and they were acting exactly like the Zionist occupation, just simply because...
So you're basically saying that the PA are agents?
Not agents. They turned them into that. The Palestinian Authority was, in the beginning, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, an honorable history. And I hope that what happened today, that what happened with Netanyahu, the fact that he won today, will allow them to kind of recognize that they made a big mistake by not believing that the Palestinian people are able to liberate themselves and becoming nothing more but an authority for a Zionist occupation. Okay.
All right, well, we're going to move on, and in a few minutes we're going to talk about the coalition, the makeup of the coalition, and what it practically means for Palestinians as well. But we've been collating the messages you've been sending us on social media, on our Facebook and Twitter pages especially, as well as what else has been trending on Palestine. So here's Camelia Shambayati with what we found.
Hello and welcome to our social media roundup. Now, we asked our viewers for their comments and tweets on the formation of the new Israeli cabinet. Let's take a look at a few. Asif from the UK says that the Palestinians are already treated very badly. I can't imagine how much worse it will get for them under this new coalition. And Jay from the US says, the Zionist illegal entity called Israel is not about a homeland for the Jews, it's about power and using Jews as an excuse for the Likud party to make more genocide and more war crimes. And Salma from the UK simply tweeted to us, Israel is one of the main causes of instability in the Middle East. Now, if we look at what's been trending about Palestine recently, this picture has been making lots of rounds on social media. It's Britain's youngest Member of Parliament, Mari Black, from the Scottish National Party, showing her support for Palestine. And many Palestinian activists are hopeful about the SNP's rise in power in Westminster. And finally, while celebrities attended the Cannes Film Festival, a much more meaningful film festival was held amid the rubble in Gaza. This viral video was dramatically shot in eastern Gaza city, and among the ruins and memories of war and destruction, a red carpet was laid out for a film festival on human rights. The event was held in Shajaya neighborhood, where some 100 Palestinians died in last year's Gaza war. And I'm afraid that's all the social media news I have for you this time. Please do follow our Facebook and Twitter accounts for your chance to have your comments read out on the show. Until next time.
Hafsa, I want to move on to, you know, the makeup of this coalition, but before we get there, I just want to ask you about what this practically means. What does this new coalition, what does it practically mean for Palestinians in so-called Israel, in the West Bank and in Gaza?
Well, for one thing, it means probably more settlements to be built. I think Israel Beit Hanu is actually, its foundation is really about encouraging more settlement building. So I think that's a given. I don't think that would have been different in any other formation, to be honest, but I think it sort of gives it the seal of approval politically to actually push forward for more settlements. We already have the Shas, who is incredibly racist. I mean, they oppose any form of recognition of Palestinian rights, no marriage between non-Palestinians, Arab-Palestinians and Jewish Israelis and all the rest of it. So we can actually expect more of these very apartheid-like sort of laws to be implemented. I think these are the sort of small changes that we're likely to see.
And no more talk about the two-state solution?
Oh, no, absolutely not. But I mean, that's sort of almost been dead for quite a while now. Under Netanyahu's regime, that's been the case. And I think this only reinforces it anyway. But I think for many within the Palestinian pro-Palestinian movements, I think that, again, that's a good thing because we realise that negotiating with a lying Zionist regime is really pointless.
Hanin, let's look at the coalition partners. Netanyahu's main party is the Jewish Home Party. Who are they?
The Jewish Home Party is actually led by Minister Shakid, who has become the Minister of Justice in the new coalition. This is the woman that I would like to remind the world, which wrote on her Facebook that Palestinian women and their children need to be killed because those women apparently are bringing up snakes who want to destroy the Zionist occupation. The Jewish Home Party is a very dangerous party. Because not only is it led by a woman today who's calling for a genocide on the whole Palestinian people, it is also a party that has in the past called for the annexation of Section C in the West Bank and for giving Palestinians Israeli citizenships, not because they like them, just to eliminate and eradicate their Palestinian identity and thus to occupy the West Bank. Okay. So they want to kill us in Gaza and they want to occupy us in the West Bank, and Netanyahu puts her as the Minister of Justice.
Of Justice, okay.
This
ironic.
This is for you and for the West. This is a democracy. And actually here I just want to say something very fast.
Okay.
Democracy will never necessarily mean justice and equality, because if the people who are going to elect someone are occupiers, are people who came from all around the world to rape the Palestinians and destroy them, then of course, whenever they go to vote, they will vote for a government that wants to destroy us.
And I know that Hafsa alluded to it, but can you tell us a little bit about the ultra-Orthodox parties that are also in this coalition?
The thing is, looking at the ultra-Orthodox party, some of them try to kind of hide themselves under the veil of we want the Zionist regime to apply religious law. So they don't necessarily, they're not necessarily as honest as the Jewish Home Party or as the Shah. But then again, if they're saying that we want religion to be the law of the Zionist regime, then they want a Jewish state, which will ultimately eliminate the right of return for Palestinian refugees, will eliminate the right of compensation, and which also means, very importantly, that the Palestinian Authority is not going to get East Jerusalem as their capital, because the Jewish Home Party, for example, and I'm sure every other party that joined the coalition would agree that they want Jerusalem as the capital of the Zionist state.
I mean, I think it's just, it is worth kind of reiterating what you alluded to about the new Justice Minister. This is a quote. She believes the entire Palestinian people is the enemy and that Israel must destroy its elderly and its women, its cities, and its villages, its property, and its infrastructure. And I didn't make that up. That's what she said. Hafsa, all right, he's got a very tiny majority in Parliament. It's 61 out of 120 seats or something. This is a weak government, isn't it? It's going to fall?
It depends. I think that it's we're likely to see it for at least another more year. That's my sort of sentiment. But I think, is it going to hold up for the full term of Netanyahu? I doubt it. But again, I think it's not going to make much of a difference in terms of what Palestinians are going to suffer. I think it might make a slight difference towards internal Israeli policies, but I think for the Palestinians, that really, whether it's a weak or strong government, doesn't really change the nature of the government itself, yeah. Which is that it's opposed to any Palestinian rights.
And the so-called international community, how are they going to kind of view this guy? Business as usual, or...?
It seems like it. I mean, just the last week, actually, the US has actually agreed to sell more very sophisticated arms to Israel in light of a very sort of racist right-wing government. So on the one hand, they're imposing sanctions and conditions on negotiating with Iran, for instance, which hasn't violated any UN resolutions. But on the other, when a government that has just been elected on very, very right-wing racist actually laws has actually been sold the most sophisticated weaponry. So I think it is business as usual.
Absolutely. Thanks for the moment. We're going to move on. We've also been sorting through some of the news from Palestine that you may not have seen on the mainstream media. So here's our quick roundup.
Palestinians have staged protests to commemorate Nakba Day, when Israel was founded in 1948 amid the ethnic cleansing of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians. In the West Bank, clashes erupted when Palestinians and activists marched towards the Israeli apartheid wall after Friday prayers. Meanwhile, in Gaza, Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh warned against the new Israeli right-wing coalition regime.
The agenda of this new Israeli government is an aggressive agenda that has a lot of dangerous thoughts against our nation, including our people who live within the 1948. There are officials who talk about displacing the Palestinian people. Others talk about turning the state into a Jewish entity, while some do not believe even in the so-called two-state solution.
Pope Francis has named two Palestinian women as saints in a ceremony in Rome just days after the Vatican formalized its recognition of the State of Palestine. The canonizations were for Sister Marie Alphonsine Daniel Gattas, founder of the Sisters of the Most Holy Rosary of Jerusalem, and Mariam Bouadi, who founded a convent in Bethlehem. And finally, the president of world football governing body FIFA, Sepp Blatter, has said Israel must set out a series of measures to ease travel curbs for Palestinian players, sports visitors, and officials. Blatter is hoping Israeli concessions will stave off the threat of a suspension vote at a FIFA Congress in Zurich. The Palestinian Football Association has long accused Israel of hampering its activities and restricting the movement of players between the Gaza Strip and the Israeli-occupied West Bank.
Haneen, you wanted to intervene about how the international community is going to react to this new coalition?
I believe the term international community is quite laughable. Because let's be honest here, when we say international community, we're talking about America, who is, in my opinion, the mother of Israel. It will take care of this little baby of theirs and feed it quite well, as she said, with weapons and money and support. To think about the international community, I think usually what we're actually looking at are countries that, in the first place, like America, recognize and support Israel and want to make the Palestinian people submit to the will of the Israelis and their allies,
which
of course we won't.
If you believe the international media, I mean, they always say that Obama and Netanyahu don't get on very well, and relations between America and Israel have never been so bad.
True. They don't get on very well in terms of keeping the illusion. Obama is very smart at keeping the illusion going of the peace process, while Netanyahu and his current coalition has kind of put a nail in the coffin for that illusion.
Yeah.
But here I must also mention, because we were mentioning how the coalition might be quite weak, actually Netanyahu has done something quite interesting when he found that America wasn't kind of supporting the kind of extreme things that he was saying. For example, I'm not for a Palestinian state, Jerusalem, East Jerusalem will not be a capital, and all of these things. You suddenly find Netanyahu having a meeting with Ayman Odeh, who is the president of the Joint Arab Party, which is the third most powerful party in parliament now. The interesting thing about Ayman Odeh and this coalition, while some Palestinians were happy that now the Arabs have voice in the Knesset. The reality of the situation is Ayman Oud, if you read his interviews and watch his TV interviews, he recognizes a Jewish state. He recognizes that Israel has a right to exist. He considers himself an Arab Israeli, not a Palestinian who is being occupied. More importantly, he met Netanyahu, and Netanyahu said to him, I will only focus on helping the Arab community in terms of economic terms, and we will not discuss kind of the Palestinian state. And he accepted those principles.
I just want to move on now to conclude. Where does this leave the Palestinians in terms of what they have to do now in the next, let's say, 4 or 5 years of this coalition?
We are in a great point in our history. All of the Palestinian parties, all of them, must unite and realize that our existence depends on our resistance. And liberation will only come through this resistance. This is why I would like to use this show to send a message to the Palestinian Authority. I call upon you to stop participating in political prostitution and putting the Palestinian rights and the right of refugees on the bargaining table. We are not people to be put on a bargaining table. And to be honest to you, any political party, no matter who it is, if it doesn't defend our right, if it doesn't defend our right of return, our right to liberate ourselves and to resist, those parties don't represent us, and the Palestinian people are capable of giving birth to a leadership that is able to fulfill the aspiration of the Palestinian people, and that means actually this key. I am one of those Palestinian refugees who has a key yet has no home. They destroyed my home, they killed my family, they imprisoned them, they tortured them, they exiled them. And they thought that the old will die and the young will forget. We will not forget. If I have to have a key and I know a door isn't waiting for me, I'm going to build that home. And actually, although I'm from Gaza, I want to build that home in Jerusalem because Al-Quds is my capital. And that's my message.
Very powerful message as well.
Thank you.
just again, the same kind of question to you. How do Palestinians confront the new reality that is facing them in Tel Aviv?
I'm not sure what I can add much to Haleem's powerful words, but I would suggest, yes, that the Palestinians need a stronger leadership. And I think that the Fatah and the West Bank leadership is really not doing the Palestinian cause a favour. I think we really need new blood, and we really need a leadership that actually talks and defends the rights of the Palestinians. And I think at every level, even in your report, when you mentioned the football issue, for instance, I hope the guy will not cave in, because we really need this little step-by-step pressures that keep mounting on the Israelis. Because we're looking, I think that we are at the moment in time witnessing the dying days of the Israeli regime. I think you can see it as
an
animal.
You say that, but why do you say that?
Because I think, look at the policies that they're implementing. Look at the right-wing movements that they're voting for. These are desperate acts of a regime that knows that it is being gradually isolated. And it's being gradually isolated because of its policy and because of a lack of support that it's getting. Israel was built on international support. And it was built on that international support. And it will die as a result of lack of international support.
Okay.
So we need to keep building on that pressure, and we need an efficient leadership that actually responds to the Palestinian requests as well.
We're out of time. In 10 seconds, you can.
Very quickly, I just want to say that again to the Palestinian Authority, if you want to end up with a state as small as the Vatican, which is the smallest state in the world, with just 2,000 people around you as your citizens, then keep going with the peace process.
Okay, and we'll end on that note. Thank you very much for coming in today. That's all the time we have for today. Once more, thank you to all our guests, and don't forget to get busy on social media telling us what you think of the issues raised in this program, please. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next time for more discussion and analysis on Palestine. Bye-bye.